Background music of Larry Rezavi and his Out of Town Checks with our theme Musicians Come and Play means it's time for another edition of our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM. We're at 13 minutes before the hour of 12 noon. We have a temperature reading of 76 degrees. As you're listening to your dependable neighbor for all of central Minnesota, KASM Albany, 1150 AM, KDDG Albany, 105.5 HD2, 107.7 on your FM dial, and streaming on the World Wide Web at mychasm.com. As we broadcast from the Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council studios, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, we are Chasm. Our theme wrapping up right there, Larry Rezavi and his out-of-town checks with our theme Musicians Come and Play. And it is our 297th edition of our Musicians Come and Play. Very excited for this program. Always excited when the guests come into the studio. We have two of them today, two for the price of one. We have Mr. Max Munnins out of Cold Spring and Alan Breezy. And Alan, I'm not sure where you hail from, so I don't know.
Richmond, too.
From Richmond. All right.
And so I'm from Richmond, too, Si.
You are actually from Richmond. Both
yes,
of you are.
So
okay.
We just thought we'd straighten you out right away.
Well, there we got it all right off the bat. Awesome. And, of course, we're really excited because these fellows, members of the Everyday People, was a very, very popular variety music, rock and roll group back in, what, the 50s, 60s?
Mainly the 70s.
70s, okay. Yes, played a lot of jobs, gigs around the area, clubs, ballrooms, pavilions, all of those things. Yeah. And you guys are going to be doing a reunion band coming up on this Saturday at the old Coliseum, the Richmond Coliseum.
Saturday night from 5 till 9 o'clock.
5 till 9 o'clock.
Yep, this Saturday night out at the Richmond Coliseum. Now it's called the Old Coliseum.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting together with the old band crew, and Alan is right here. He was the lead guitarist for Everyday People. I was the bass guitarist. Judy was the keyboard player. And we had Mike McCann that time played drums, and Mike Harrison played harmonica for us.
Okay, so that's the whole old gang.
We've had a little change of personnel since
over the years.
Yeah. We've actually got three out of the five that are the original coming
back.
Are
the originals. Now, is everybody still living, or have you lost anybody along the way?
No, luckily we're all still here.
Oh, that's neat, because a lot of times bands of that length of time, you will lose one or two.
Sorry, do we look that old?
No, you don't. You look really young.
Yeah,
awesome. Well, Max, we've had you in the studio already. We're going to go through a little bit of your history, but we'll start with Alan. How's that?
That sounds good.
Alan, where are you born and raised?
I was born and raised in Richmond.
In Richmond, okay.
In Richmond. My dad owned the gamble store.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ah, neat. Okay.
And, I grew up there.
Okay. Where'd you go to school?
I went to Cold Spring.
Cold Spring?
St. Boniface
at that time, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And go on to any college?
I did.
You did?
I went to St. Cloud State.
St. Cloud State, okay.
I majored in art.
Okay. Majored in art. And did you make that your occupation, or did you live on music all your life?
Well, I did a little of both.
You did?
Yeah. I do artwork. I did artwork
Okay.
Most of my life I did. I had a sign shop for a little while.
Oh, you did?
And then I worked for Cold Spring Granite doing artwork.
Okay, okay.
And then I did learned etching, actually, and I still do a little bit of it.
Okay.
But and I freelance that.
Sure.
Yeah.
And where did music come in then? Did you pick that up in school already? Or?
Well, yeah, I wanted to play. I had an interest in playing. I wanted to sing.
Uh-huh.
And I happened to meet the Munnins family.
Uh-huh.
And they actually taught me how to do it.
Okay.
And
so was that grade school, high school age? Where were you?
Well, we were, let's see, it had to be right after high school.
Right after high school? Okay.
After high school. And they used to have these, what their mom, Angie, called a sing session.
Oh.
And she'd get everybody, ask anybody from town who wanted to come and sing.
Uh-huh.
And my cousin and I, Mudus, played or would come.
Uh-huh.
And her brothers and sisters, Angie's brothers and sisters, would come and sing. And, you know, we'd all sing around the piano.
Oh, neat.
And it was great fun.
Ah, that's great. Awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. And so was that your first band then, was the Everyday People, or did you have something in between before that?
No, I actually got together with, my cousin, Miles. Uh-huh. He wanted to play too.
Okay.
And we got together, and he said one time, you know, I hear there's a family in town that is musical. We ought to ask Max over here.
Uh-huh.
And that's how we
and that's
asked
how...
him to come over. This was in mom and dad's basement.
Okay.
And that's how it started.
The rest
actually,
history.
What we did, though, when you and me got together, I was like 16 years old,
yeah.
And you're, what, 20 years older than me?
No,
actually,
funny man.
Yeah, you know, I got to throw that in there. But you, I think you're 2 years older than me. And what we did, Cy, is my mother played piano for Gilbert Stile those years.
He did.
Oh,
she
yeah,
did.
She
wow.
was in Gilbert Stile, so she was always playing piano, and I always wanted to learn how to play. So
yeah.
She showed me a few chords, and got to know a few chords on the piano. So I got together with Alan and. And we'd go up on Wednesday nights to the Richmond Public School when they had basketball night or something
yep.
like that. And you and I would go up there, and there was a piano in the school.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd go up there, and you'd bring your little champ amp, yeah. Fender champ amp, and you and I would sit there and go through songs and
yeah.
play. And I remember the first song we did was the Beach Boys' Wendy, because
yeah.
you could sing that high part, Wendy, you know. And so we did that, and we just started working together like that.
Sure.
And all of a sudden, we picked up Mudus Torberg,
uh-huh.
Alan's cousin. You know, those two guys were into it.
Uh-huh.
And we also picked up another cousin of yours was Bob Becker.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, Bob played drums.
Played drums,
so
okay.
So we had three cousins there.
Uh-huh.
And then we had a guy named Don Schaefer who joined, got together, and Royce Neese.
And what
from
did they
Richmond.
Play?
And Royce plays saxophone.
Okay.
Don Schaefer played bass. I played keyboard. Alan was a lead player.
Uh-huh.
And Mudus was rhythm. And like I said, Bob Becker was on drums. So that's how we started, the Sons of Adam. And we'd practice in Alan's mom and dad's basement. And to this day, we don't know how Lou and Dorothy put up with all that.
It was funny.
I mean, it was so loud.
Uh-huh.
It was funny because Dad... Well, he was working all week, of course, and he would like to sleep, you know,
yeah.
on Sunday afternoons.
And oh, yeah.
We would be down below, right below him. We had a bass and drums.
Oh,
and
my
guitars,
goodness.
Guitars, PAs. And stuff. And we played, and he'd sleep.
He would, really.
How that ever happened.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. But, well, yeah. They were probably just happy and proud that you guys weren't into shenanigans.
I don't know how proud they were.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I don't know how proud they were of us,
yeah.
you know.
But you that's the trouble with the youth of nowadays. A lot of them don't have that ethic. They don't do anything, it seems like. And you don't see a lot of this. Well, of course, there's not the venues to play at either. But
well, you know, we just all wanted to play.
Yeah.
And we had the desire to play. And we'd get in his basement, and we'd do songs that we heard off the radio.
Exactly.
And I remember putting these songs together.
Yeah.
Because I was 16 years old, and for some reason, I could hear the chords.
Yeah.
On the songs on the radio, because we couldn't afford sheet music.
No, exactly.
You know, geez.
Yeah.
You know.
We'd have to figure out everything off of records.
Yep.
You know,
yeah.
And get the words and everything, even if we couldn't understand them.
Sure.
We'd
sure.
make something up. You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, the first time that we played, we were practicing in the basement. It was on a Friday night.
Uh-huh.
And there was a band called The Strangers.
I've heard of them.
Jeff Toole. Yeah. Babe Winkleman, the fisherman, played there. Tim Bajelski, Dale Victor. And they were a pretty big band.
Yeah.
And we were friends of theirs. And Jeff had called one night. We were down in your basement. I'll never forget that. Yeah. The phone rang. You know, it was pretty cool. Breezy's had two phones in her house, you know.
Oh, big.
That was big, you know. Yeah. We were lucky to have one. But yeah. That's another long story.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, Jeff had called, and he says, oh, we double booked. He says, can you guys play a job for us tonight? And this was on a Friday night. And I said, where's it at? And he said, it's at the College Inn.
Yeah, CI, what they call it.
College Inn in St. Joe.
St. Joe, yes.
Yeah.
Later became the Silver Dollar, I think. But at that time, it was the College Inn.
What was interesting about that is here we are. We're new at this.
Uh-huh.
Trying to work out songs. And we probably didn't have enough songs to do a night. So we're all debating. Half of us want to go, and half of us say, no way.
Uh-huh.
Finally, Max says, we're going.
Uh-huh. Let's go.
You needed a leader. There
we
you go.
We got to go.
Uh-huh.
And we did. And we played at the CI. And, you know, we're all wondering how we're doing. And the manager, after we were all done, he said, oh, he really enjoyed it. He said, you had a lot of enthusiasm.
Uh-huh.
So
I remember walking in there, though, Alan. When we got up there, we were just so excited. And we walked in the place, and it was like the Johnnies and the Bennies, that was their hangout.
Yeah, that's right.
That was higher education those days.
Yes.
You know, that was good. The Bennies just had a walk there.
Yep.
And St. John's, they shipped the guys in by bus, you know.
Well, bus, or did they have to hitchhike in there, I think? I don't know if they even had buses in those days.
I don't know if they did or not.
Yeah.
I know they didn't come by horse and pony.
No.
Anything, you
know? I remember seeing a lot of people hitchhiking in those days because we lived on 75, that was actually old Highway 52
before the
interstate was here, and that would have been before the interstate. So I'm thinking that in those days we've seen a lot of guys, they would get to St. Joe because the Bennies were in St. Joe, and they were in St. John's, and I don't think there was a transportation in place, not until probably in the later 60s. So.
When we were playing that night, when we walked in, we thought we were the Beatles. We came through the crowd, and people were,
you know,
it was keg night.
Yeah.
You know, it was keg night. So we're walking through with our amplifiers, you know, and setting up on stage and stuff, and the girls are screaming, you know, and we went up there. We had 16 songs.
Oh, my goodness.
And I remember that.
Remember that?
Oh, sure. Well, I kept track of everything in those days, all our equipment, everything else. I'm kind of like that.
Oh, yeah. Neat.
And the funny thing is about that night is I kept saying we ran out of songs, you know, within an hour. And I said, hey, we got a request for Wooly Bully, you know, or Louie Louie. So we had a lot of requests that night. I don't think we really had one, but I just kept making it up, you know. That's how we started.
Great musicians can improvise.
Yeah. So anyway, then we played, Alan, we played pretty much all over. And then our big break from the Sons of Adam when we got into Club Domino and St. Cloud. That was the place to play. That was where all the action was.
And that was out on Highway 23, just on the eastern edge of St. Cloud. And I think that building is still there yet today.
It is still there.
Is it still there?
Yeah. I think they had a bingo parlor in there since, and not sure what else they use it for.
Yeah.
But boy, I know that was a romp and stomping place back in the days.
That was the place. If you could make it to Domino, you could make it any place. And they had the Go-Go Girls there, remember that,
Si? I did not get
there. I'm sure you didn't look when you went in there.
Oh, absolutely not. No, that was a little before my time yet. And then once I got onto the music scene, of course, we were playing at ballrooms and pavilions, so we didn't get out to see other places like you guys. So
we played quite a few places.
Yeah. Sure, sure.
And then that band broke up. We moved, Judy and I moved to Hutchinson.
Okay.
My sister.
Oh, you guys are brother-in-laws.
Well, yes.
Did not know that. Well, awesome. Some family here, too.
That was a family band at that time.
And I guess we just have to break in here. You know, we brought an audience along, too. We have Mr. Gary Zimmerman himself in the studio.
Hello, Gary.
Yes.
Hello to everyone out there in Casimiro.
There you go. So, Gary, a fan of the group, and what's the connection with Gary?
Well, I met him through my my lady friend.
Okay.
And
which is Monique.
Yeah, Monique.
Monique, okay.
And what did she do? Oh, she took care of
my uncle, John Pogacini.
Okay, very good.
Nice to meet nice on Breezy, and then today, and I guess I've met Max down the road before.
So. Yeah, we were over at Allen's one time. We played over there, and you were there in the crowd.
Nice, nice. Yeah. So we have an audience here besides our two guests in the studio.
Cool.
So if we can hold that thought for just a moment, we've reached 12 o'clock here in central Minnesota. Time to read the ad for our sponsor, the St. Joe Meat Market, and then we'll come back with you guys. So the St. Joe Meat Market, the home of fresh meats, award-winning sausages, reminding you to stop by each and every Friday and Saturday for the outdoor cookouts out in front of the St. Joe Meat Market. This coming weekend on Friday and Saturday, it will be the St. Joe Lions. Come out and enjoy a brat and a beverage for a very reasonable fee. The brat of the week this week is our smoked honey mustard brats. The honey mustard brats are a great flavored brat in the frying pan, in the oven, or off the grill in a bun. This week, you can come in, take 30 cents off each package at the checkout counter all week long, unlimited quantities. Have you started a Bratmeister card yet? Well, how they work is when you come into the St. Joe Meat Market and purchase vacuum-packaged packages of brats at the regular price, you get a punch on your card for every package you purchase. If you collect 12 punches, the 13th package is free. What a great way to try all of the many exciting flavors of brats available for you at the St. Joe Meat Market. So, as always, for more in-store specials at the St. Joe Meat Market, like us on Facebook, look for us on the web, www.stjoesofmeatmarket.com, or call 320-363-4913 for more information. And Max and Alan for being our guests on the program. And, of course, Max, I don't have to tell you, you know how it works already. You've been here, and so you've experienced it already. But, Alan, you're in for a real treat. I think you'll enjoy it. Sample package of meat from the St. Joe Meat Market.
It's really, it's really good.
How good is it?
It's really good, Gary.
There you go.
Yeah, I was here Sunday, December 9th. I did the interview with you on my career in the music business.
And was that of 2018?
2018.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Very good.
That was right before Christmas.
All right. So.
So can I clarify just a couple things?
Yes.
The Sons of Adam, when we had them, they eventually broke up.
Okay.
And then Royce Neese, who was our sax player, he got a chance to go and play with Roscoe and the Green Men, which was a big group back and then because
they
I'd
were.
See a horn band.
Yep.
And he was the one who named our group the Sons of Adam.
Okay.
And
there was a group in Chicago called the Daughters of Eve.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And they sent us a picture.
Oh, really?
They wanted They wanted us to get together with them. But,
oh, yes.
But we never did.
Never worked out.
So anyway, after we broke up the Sons of Adam, then Alan and I went with Dave Leonard, the only originals. They were a big band at St. Cloud.
Yes.
So you and I played with them. Yeah. You, me, Harry Cook, Tim Bajelski, and Dave Leonard. And after a while, we played with Dave Leonard, and he played kind of the older stuff, and we wanted to do the Doors and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
I played keyboard.
Yep.
And then we formed the Paper Mache. Remember that?
Yeah.
And we played the Club Domino. We played all over. And then at that time, Uncle Sam called me. I got drafted.
Two years.
Yes.
Really?
So I went in the service, and fortunately, I went to German versus Vietnam.
But
anyway, I was in service. That is when Everyday People started. People think I was one of the original members of Everyday People. I wasn't. I was in the service, and Judy and Alan.
Yeah.
Well, you take it from here then, Alan.
We actually moved to Hutchinson.
Okay.
And I taught art for 3 years in Silver Lake.
Oh, neat.
And then we started a band and called it Everyday People.
Okay.
And then after that, we came back and moved back to St. Cloud, and that's when Max joined us again.
Okay.
Got out of the service, and that's when we started Everyday People and started playing all over the neighborhood.
And how'd you come up with the name Everyday People?
Well, there's a song by that name.
Oh, okay.
Sly and the Family Stone, wasn't it?
We never played it, but I like the name.
So. Okay, okay. Yeah, it's very catchy.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And so what time frame was that about when you guys started playing Everyday?
About 1971.
About 71.
71. I was in the service in 70 and 71. And when I got out, then I was working at a different company. And then you guys were playing, and you guys were playing a lot. And I'll never forget the night I went to Watkins. You guys were playing at a little bar called Hilda's in Watkins. I'm sure a lot of listeners remember Hilda's. And you were playing with yourself, Judy, Dick Schiebel was playing bass. And who's done drums?
Tim Crescine.
Yeah. And Judy said, Max is back. He used to play with him, the Sons of Adam. And And all of a sudden she said, you want to come up and do a couple songs? And the three of us always did the harmony together and stuff. And Dick never sang, the bass player.
Yeah.
So I came up and they threw a bass guitar at me. Well, I was a keyboardist. I looked at the bass guitar and I thought, what is this thing? You know, but I could figure out the notes while we played. And we played that night.
Did we do that?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Where were you? Remember that? I remember Dick.
I didn't remember you playing bass.
Yeah. Yeah. Really? Yeah. I took Dick's bass and I took his job.
Oh, my goodness.
A couple weeks later, then all of a sudden, or what, a month later, then I started playing. And his bass, that beautiful jazz master that I have to this day, 1964, it was painted red, white, and blue.
Patriotic.
And you took it, Alan, and you sanded it all down. You made it just a beautiful guitar now. But Dick Schiebel played that. But anyway, then I started playing bass with you, Judy, and then you and Mike McCann. You got Mike McCann.
Yeah.
You two worked together.
Mike Harrison was in there, too.
Mike Harrison, yes. Yeah, yeah.
Neat stuff. And we should tell the listeners, I'm bad at this. I never, people will tune in and tell me that we tuned in after 12 o'clock, and I had no clue who you're talking to.
Oh.
So we have Mr. Max Munnins.
Hello.
And Alan Breezy, two members of the Everyday People. And again, we want to promote this a little bit and mention that you guys have a reunion band coming up. And these reunion bands, you see them popping up all over the place, bands that had played back in the days. And when was your heyday, basically, 70s?
In the 70s. We played from 72 to almost 1980.
Okay.
Something in that stretch right in there.
So you're going to get most of the old gang together, well, and that's going to be on Saturday night.
Saturday night, July 13th, from 5 to 9.
5 to 9.
3 years ago, I believe, we played an outdoor thing in Richmond.
Okay.
And the situation being the way it is with Californians coming in and all that kind of thing.
Sure.
We decided, well, we don't want to take a chance with the weather and everything, so we decided to see if we could get in at the Richmond Ballroom.
Uh-huh.
Fortunately, the Richmond Ballroom, the old Coliseum, is still functioning.
Still, so yeah,
We could put it on there.
Yes. And one of the great places to play back in the day, and it's still got so much charisma or whatever when you walk into the place. I've been there for a few weddings and events.
Yeah, it's a nice place.
It really is. I spent a lot of evenings there, both dancing to bands and also playing myself. So knew a lot of the owners, Elmer Niehaus back in the day.
Yeah.
Rock and Roll Zumoff, Earl Schmidt, Little Earl. He hired us a lot of bands through the years, and I don't know how many other owners were in there in between. I think it's a Hemish that had it most recently. So, but yeah, a lot of history in that ballroom.
And now it's Terry, Tina and Terry Memkin.
Okay, they're the current owners of the ballroom.
Yes.
Neat.
Yes,
well, we sure thank them for keeping it going.
Yes, because of all of them that were bulldozed over, you know, we used to play how many times for Irvy over
at New Munich
Ballroom.
Yeah. Yeah. Mention some of the other places you guys appeared.
Oh, we played at Earl's Bar in Greenwald.
Okay.
Earl's
Lake Henry.
Yeah.
Was that the M&M Corral over at the Lake Henry back in those days? Yeah.
Bernie's Barn and.
Okay.
Yeah.
Farmer's Daughter in Litchfield.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. The Loft in Wilmer. Remember carrying Judy's Leslie? She had this big Leslie that she played keyboard, and it weighed about 800 pounds.
Yeah.
We carried that up those steps.
Oh, my gosh. Oh.
The Fireside.
The steps, about 40 steps up. Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, then we played Browerville Ballroom.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, we played Marshall Ballroom.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
And we even made it to Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Did you?
We would get hired for Christmas parties.
Really? Wow.
So we'd play in Minneapolis.
Yeah. We play at the Hopkins House and places like that, you know. So
did you guys ever get on stage at the Coliseum, Granite City Coliseum, or Fairgrounds, Sauk Rapids, or any of those places?
You know, we never did play out there.
Okay.
No,
the Crown Bar.
Crown Bar, okay.
It was called JJ's Pouring Emporium.
Yes, yes.
It went from the Crown Bar. Dick Kreckelberg that time played him and the
Countrymen.
Southern Gent. Countrymen, that's
Countrymen,
it.
Countrymen, yes.
They were the band there, and all of a sudden the country was going out because the Domino was big, and we were at the Domino. And then Jim Foljam, remember big Jim Foljam came over there? And
he said, funny story from there.
Do you?
Oh, that one. That I know exactly what you're... Oh, geez, when he fell off the bar stool? Yeah.
Pull that mic up a little closer to you, Alan.
This we were playing up.
This was at JJ's Pouring Emporium.
Yeah, we were playing, and we were maybe third set, and we were going and rocking and rolling and had the dance floor.
Place was packed.
Max was singing the song.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, he stopped. And he looked over there, and he was just buckled over because he couldn't say it. He was laughing.
Geez.
Oh, my
you
goodness.
Tell him the rest. Uh-huh.
Well, what happened is this guy always came out there, you know, and he was a pretty smooth character, single guy, and he got a ladies' guy.
He'd
sit with the ladies.
Yeah.
Well, one night he got a little overserved, should we say.
Yeah,
a little overserved, and he's sitting at the bar right in front of us. And I never knew this, and all of a sudden he was a little overserved, and he fell off the bar stool. He got up, and I didn't know he had a toupee, and it had a wave in the front.
Yeah.
Well, he got off the floor, and he put his toupee on, and it was sideways. Oh. And he sat down with the girls trying to be Rico Suave, and we just, the whole band lost it.
Oh. Well, we took a break.
We couldn't play.
Break.
Oh.
I can still see that to this day.
Memorable moments. All right.
Yeah, we had a lot of good times in the band. But this band now, Cy, that's playing Saturday night, like I said, is myself, Alan. Judy's flying in. She's out in California.
Okay.
With their children. Lisa's out there, and Eric.
Okay.
And Eric is a professional drummer in California.
Really? Wow.
Yes. So he's coming back to do the drumming. So it'll be myself, Alan, Judy, three of the originals, and their son, Eric, is going to do the drumming.
Nice.
Our drummer, Mike McCann, had different plans. He didn't care to make this one, we have a lot of respect for what he wanted to do, you know. And
absolutely.
So he's up in Park Rapids, and he was a great guy, great drummer all those years, but he just didn't want to do this one, which is fine. So Eric is taking his place.
Nice.
And Mike Harrison, that time he left Everyday People, he went to Florida.
Yeah. Okay.
Him and his wife. That was in like 77, I think, left.
Okay.
But so after that, it was myself, Judy, Mike McCann.
We had
and
another
Allard.
Interesting thing happen. We were playing at Greenwald at Earl's Bar.
Yeah.
And it was a fun night, and everybody's dancing, and it was the middle of summer, it was warm out, and there was a guy named Parnelli.
He's still around.
Is he?
Yeah, I saw him not too long ago.
Anyway, he was all sweaty, and he came up to him, and he says, "We love that beautiful loose music."
Loose music.
That was his saying. He always liked that beautiful.
I never forgot.
Yeah, but I think he is still around, though.
Is he?
Parnelli, if you're listening, hi from Alan and Max.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And for folks that didn't see Everyday People, like what, and you said you picked up your music from listening to the radio. KDWB or what station?
KDWB
was
huge
back those days.
Was huge, yeah.
It was all pop radio stuff.
Yep, and
ended up playing a little bit of country and a little bit of old time too.
You did
whatever.
Some variety music
to get people dancing.
We do old time, but we never had concertina or accordion.
No. Yep.
But here's just a preview here. It took us 3 hours on the phone. Myself, Alan, and Judy in California. We did a conference call, and I think we spent 3 hours deciding on a song list because we know 500 songs, and we tried to get them down into four sets. So that was something in itself. And here's just a couple of them. We do stuff like Route 66, Peaceful Easy Feeling by the Eagles, Don't Be Cruel, All Shook Up by Elvis, Ever See the Rain, CCR, Easier Said Than Done. That was by a group back in then.
The Essex.
Yeah. Margaritaville, Come and Go With Me, Country Roads, Oobla Dee by the Beatles, Calendar Girl. These are just some. Now, look at all. I've got, I brought them along.
Wow.
See them all?
Yes,
that's
indeed.
A lot. And we haven't practiced any of them yet.
Oh, my goodness.
So hopefully she's going to let us.
On our own.
Yeah.
Well, and I think it comes down to the proverbial bicycle. You just get on and start pedaling. It just comes right back to you.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, Alan came over a couple times, and I put the bass on, and it pretty much came back, although that bass is about 500 pounds.
Is it really? Oh,
yes, it is, compared to playing keyboard, which I do now myself and Deb doing the Max and Deb show.
Yeah.
That's a little different than when I saw the Fender sitting upstairs on the stand for many, since the last concert we did 3 years ago, and I saw it, and I put it on, and I thought, how did I ever survive? So After this concert,
yes.
after this concert, I have a chiropractor appointment set up for Monday through. Just kidding.
Oh, neat, neat. Well, our time is running down. I usually ask everybody for a memorable moment, an experience, or something over the years that you might want to share with the listeners. And who wants to go first? One of you can think about one, and the other can.
Well, I have one that I remember. Remember this one, Alan? Back in those days, Si, we had a van.
Okay.
It was a van.
Uh-huh.
And we had it full of our equipment, and it was Alan and Judy's van.
Uh-huh.
So Alan would drive. Judy was sitting in the middle on a chair, a folding chair.
Okay.
And I was in it. No seat belts.
Yep.
No cell phones.
Yep.
You know, doing these gigs, you know, getting home at 3 in the morning. It's 20 below.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way it was. But one job I remember well, we played in Marshall.
Okay.
And we got done those days. It took us over 2 hours to set up and tear down and all
sure.
that. So we were on the road like at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Uh-huh.
And we came out, and it was myself, Judy, Mike McCann, and Alan. And I was going to drive, and it was pea soup fog in Marshall.
Oh, okay.
So I will never forget driving home in that stuff, and these three snoring. They were sleeping in there, and I couldn't see 20 feet in front. I remember that drive all the way. Remember that one?
That was bad.
That was kind of an experience.
I drove for a little bit too.
But yeah, you drove for about a mile, and then you were snoring. So I took it from there. You have a story on.
Yeah, we did. This was during the 70s, and we did a back to the land thing.
Okay.
We were actually playing music full time at this time.
Uh-huh.
And, we're mostly city and town kids, and we all decided to move to the countryside.
Okay.
So we did that. We raised gardens and raised our kids and cut wood and did the whole thing. That was kind of new to us.
Okay.
But it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun. We'd get together and sing around the piano.
Yeah, nice. we didn't work. You know, I was telling Si on my last interview in December, people had come up to me and they'd say, this was our full-time job.
Yeah, yeah.
And people had come up to me and they'd say, hey, Max, how you doing? What are you doing for a living? I'd say, I'm playing music. And they'd say, no, really, for a real job, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know.
Exactly.
You know,
it was unheard of in those days that you could make a living on playing
and
music.
And we did that for about 10 years. That was our income that we did. And
we
all lived on hobby farms out in the country.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it was a different style of life. It was
but
pretty good.
Weren't you working like 5 or 6 nights a week?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or even 7? I mean.
Yes. You know, and people think that playing in a band is all the glory and everything.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they forget about all the packing. And I
always
look at it like an iceberg. You know, you see the tip of the iceberg, but
yes.
you don't see the full. That's all the practice and the expense and driving there.
Exactly.
And setting up and doing the job. And then everybody says, oh, it was a great job. And they all leave to go home, and you're sitting there with 2 hours worth of stuff. So it's a lot of fun. We love it. I'm still doing it. Alan, you're still doing it.
Yeah.
I mean.
Okay.
Well, and, you know, playing in a band is a little bit like being married.
Four ways,
you know.
Yeah.
That's to make that all work and to get along and figure out songs.
For better or for worse, they say.
Yeah, but we loved it.
Right.
We had a great time.
Yeah.
And we look back at those days and we go, how many people could do that?
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
that's
very
right.
few lucky. People. So,
we're lucky to do it.
We were lucky to do it.
And.
Yes.
For it all.
And so many friends, you know. You knew that, Si. You've been
exactly.
in a band. You get to meet people all over the area.
You do.
You know
and it was, it's like you said, it was like a marriage because you've got your fellow musicians. Yeah. You got the proprietors of the dance halls and the pavilions and the bars. And then, of course, you've got the patrons that come out. So you need them all.
Yes,
we've played already for an empty house already. 2-3 people show up or whatever.
We've had tables and chairs nights too.
And,
you know,
and it doesn't work. I mean, when you don't hear that swish of the feet on the floor or whatever, it makes it hard to play. And on the other hand, when everybody's laughing and having a good time,
it's the best.
The music flows. You bet. And and of course, you want to make the ballroom owner happy because he needs to make money, and then he'll pay you. So it's a vicious triangle or whatever. Yeah. So you need them all.
Yeah, you know, when I look back at some of those gigs that we played, we had a lot of big crowds. And the thing is, back then, Si, everybody danced.
Yes, yes.
I remember playing at the Richmond Coliseum where we were playing Saturday night. And you couldn't go to the bar to get anything. You had to go through the back door because you couldn't get through the crowd.
It was so thick, yes.
And it was pretty much like that, you know, New Munich Ballroom,
yes.
Pretty much all over, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
All young.
Yeah.
You know, we could dance.
Right,
and
right.
Everybody could move like that.
It was a different era. You know, the laws were much more relaxed than they are nowadays.
Yeah,
there was drinking was more prevalent, and that's a whole other issue, so we don't get into that. But it all went hand in hand. But for the most part, my experiences, and I don't know how you guys have to speak for yourself, mine were all positive.
Great. They still are. We're in the band. We love it. We just played yesterday, happy 25th anniversary to Fred and Renee Mayer. We just played theirs yesterday at their place. It was a wonderful time. We had a great time. So happy anniversary to those two.
Absolutely. With the future, you are just freelancing right now, Alan? Are you guys playing in any formal band?
I play a little bit. I play it. My church, and then I play at Assumption Nursing Home.
Okay.
And also Country Manor. And,
sure. Just a solo engagement, or do you have somebody else with you?
One of them I play with at Country Manor, I play with a fiddler.
Oh, okay.
That's.
And Christina Seaborn.
Okay. Christina Seaborn, she's fantastic.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
Great.
Nice. Okay.
Then I even go up to Albany Pioneer Days here.
Oh, you do?
And I get up on stage.
You do? Know Tom Willard then, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of great bluegrass up in that country up there. Yeah. They like that up there. We're up there, and of course, the old saloon there has the old time in it. And I suppose you were in the Red Shed over the years, huh?
Yes.
That's got, I mean, it's too bad they had to move it, but everything progresses, and so. A lot of history
out
there.
A lot of fun with that, though.
Absolutely.
You know, I could sit around at a bluegrass jam, and you'd meet all kinds of people. And all kinds of songs you never heard before. And
do you still come out to the Pioneer Days yet?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, usually. You do? Yeah, coming up again. That's just a couple months away.
Yeah.
So, you bet. And
I
Max?
From there, and then I go over to the electric. They have an electric shed.
Yeah.
So, I bring my electric guitar, and I play a little there, too.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
Max, you're still working. You're... doing
still
Deb,
playing.
Deb and you do a lot of two
Max and Deb show. Yeah, we play quite a bit.
Yep.
And we were just at Shady's on Friday night.
Okay.
And we were at Dino's the Monday night
Eden
before
Lakeside,
Dino's
there.
And down there. And
yeah,
we've been really busy in the summer.
Nice.
We play a lot in the summer, not so much in the winter because
yep.
we kind of choose not to go out in 20 below and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That reminds me just a quick thing. Remember Sox Center Legion? It'd be 20, 30 below or whatever. It might be exaggerating. And then we were packing up the equipment in your van, and it was on the north side, and that wind came in there.
Oh,
remember
the
that?
Lake. Yeah.
I'll never forget that place.
Yeah, oh,
yeah. But
that's the price we paid.
That's right.
But,
That's
yeah,
for sure.
But we still enjoy doing it. Been doing it for how many years, you know?
Neat.
Many, many years. So
it's
been great.
We hope all the folks... you know, we'll think about coming out to Richmond, the old Coliseum there, on Saturday night. And again, that starts at 5.
5 to 9.
And it's a $5 admission, I see. Happy hour and dinner specials from 5 to 7, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. And I've been there. They've got good food there.
Those people do a great job. The Mumpkins do great.
So, yeah, folks can really come out and enjoy themselves and take a step back into the past, huh?
Yeah.
That's it.
Awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, guys, Alan Breezy, Max Munnins, we want to thank you for coming in. Gary Zimmerman, our crowd here.
Yay.
You bet. Want to thank you all for coming in. And like I told you last time, Max, you and I are here down the road. We'll do this thing again.
Oh, I love it.
You bet.
Just love doing this.
Awesome.
And thank you, Si. We appreciate you and for what you do to all the musicians on this Sunday morning.
Yeah.
It's just wonderful to get all these. This is number what, 298?
297.
297. 297. December, I was 269.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
People look forward to this Sunday morning get together with you and give you a lot of credit for doing this for all the musicians.
You bet.
Wonderful job, Si.
Well,
thank you.
Very humbled, very honored to be the guy behind the microphone here. So
thank you very much for doing it.
You bet. Well, with that, we're going to let you guys run. Have a great afternoon. Good luck with the big to-do on Saturday.
Thank you very much, Si.
All righty.
Thank you.
All righty, and there they go. Alan Breezy, Max Munnins, our 297th guest here on our Musicians Come and Play program on KASM. And don't go away. We've got music coming up by the Everyday People. Max happened to bring in a CD of some of their music from back in the day. And also we have music by Max himself. We'll be featuring some of that as the musical treat rolls along. Thank you.